Well, hello. It's good to be with you. I hope that you're having a good day. In fact, I hope you're having a great week, especially this week as we remember our Lord's love for us, how He came, lived, died, and rose again for us out of His great eternal love for us. I hope that this is a great week as you worship Him, as you grow in your walk with Him. And I hope our time together today is a time of helping you to grow in your walk and your relationship with our Lord. And since He's given us this time to meet with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, Lord, for this day that You've given to us, Lord, this beautiful spring season. But most of all, Father, what we especially remember this week, Lord, Father, the gift of Your Son, the one-time perfect payment and sacrifice for our sin through His death, burial, and resurrection. Father, through Him, the forgiveness, the justification, Lord, the adoption as Your children. Father, we are so thankful. And Lord, we love You. Lord, open our minds and our hearts today, O God, to hear from You. Draw us close to You. Lord, may we know You better than we ever have before. May we be closer to You than we ever have been before. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, this week, we especially remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And I say especially as believers, we should always be mindful of that. And it should always be on the forefront of our mind. But on this week, we especially remember how our Lord came, lived, died, and rose again for us. And as we think about that, as we remember that, we're really confronted with two questions as we look at God's Word here this afternoon together. We're going to take a break from our studying the book of Psalms. We're actually going to be in the book of John in chapters 18 and 19. But as we look at these chapters, I want us to look at two crucial questions that we have to answer within our heart before the Lord. Two questions that were asked, one obviously of Pilate, the second one of both Pilate and the Jewish people there that day. But it's the same two questions that we have to answer in our lives. The first question, and this will be in John 18, is who is going to live? That might seem to be a rather strange, unusual question to ask, but you and I are facing a question of life and death. Somebody deserves to die and is going to die. Someone is worthy of living and needs to live. You and I need to answer the question of who is going to live. Look with me at John chapter 18, beginning in verse 38 and going through verse 40. And this again, Pilate is asking this question here. And think about what he's asking here. Pilate, we call this Jesus' trials before Pilate, but you read very much of this and you find out it wasn't really Jesus on trial. Technically, yeah, he was. But in the eternal sense, it was Pilate who was on trial. And in the eternal sense, it's you and me who are on trial. But notice what we read there in John 18, the latter part of verse 38, going through verse 40. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release for you at the Passover. That I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish that I release for you the King of the Jews? And so they cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. You know, in a very similar way, we face the very same question. Who deserves to die? Who is going to live? Who needs to be put to death? Except the twist on it for us is the fact we are Barabbas. Who is going to live? Us or Christ? Who's deserving of death? Us or Christ? And again, that might seem to be relatively strange, but understand what happens in salvation, both as far as what God did upon the work of the cross through Jesus Christ, but what that means is it's applied to our lives. Think of what we read over in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and in the context, the immediate context, is a believer dealing with sin in his life, but the basis of it is his position in Christ. And so think about what our position as believers is in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Again, the question about sin in the life of a believer. May it never be. Notice, here comes the position. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who've been baptized, that means identified by faith into Christ Jesus, have been baptized, that is, identified with him through faith into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Understand what Paul is saying there. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, what we are saying is the fact that we believe and we're trusting, we're counting, we're depending on, we're counting upon the fact that Jesus Christ died the death that we were supposed to die. That he took our sins and our sin, that is our sin nature, upon himself and died upon the cross. He died in our place. He died for us. When we trust him, we're saying that I am a sinner, I deserve to die. The death penalty is clearly stated and fully justified. And yet Jesus Christ came and died for me. But if, on the other hand, we refuse to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what we are in essence saying is, I'm not a sinner, there's no death penalty. Jesus' death doesn't do anything for me, doesn't mean anything to me. And therefore, it's as if making the decision, yeah, let Jesus die, I'm going to live. Salvation is only by trusting Jesus Christ's death as our own. We are in fact judging ourselves as under the death penalty and worthy of dying. And our faith is the fact that Jesus died in our place. Think about what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He describes this. Very first part of the verse. I have been crucified with Christ. What's he saying? That when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior, he trusted the fact that Christ died in his place. And so the question that is before us is, quite frankly, who have you chosen to live? Who have you chosen to die? Have you recognized the fact that you're under the death penalty? You were born on eternity's death row, fully deserving of death, but out of his great love and mercy and grace, God sent his only begotten Son to die upon the cross for you. And that you, by placing your faith and trust in him, die. Whom have you chosen? But you know, this also applies to us as believers in the ongoing sense. And the fact is, who are we going to let now live in our life? Quoted Galatians 2:20, the very first part of the verse a moment ago. Listen to the whole verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but the Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Look at what the basis, the reality of the everyday Christian life is. We now trust, surrender to, we'll talk about that in a moment, and trust Jesus Christ to live his life through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Believer, who are you letting live? Let's think about this in probably a little more concrete terms here. Think about what we see in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, meaning that you have trusted that he died and rose again for you, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed to him in glory. Here comes what we call the practical daily application. Therefore, because of all of this, you died in Christ, you now live in Christ, he lives through you. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, what? When you were living in them. As believers, our daily life needs to be the decision to let Christ live through us. Believer, who have you chosen? Today, who have you chosen? Have you truly chosen to allow Christ to live through you, recognizing that your old self, the old fleshly nature, those things need to be put to death? In salvation, we believe that Jesus died and rose again for us. In everyday Christian life, we're to walk by faith and allow Christ to live through us. Who is living in your life? Who have you chosen? Jesus Christ must be the one that we choose to allow to live, recognizing the fact that we deserve to be dead. But then we come to the second question. We've seen, well, who is going to live? Who's going to be put to death? But then we come to who is going to rule. Again, we continue reading. Pilate trying to get himself off the hot seat here. And again, in the eternal scheme, it's obvious that it's Pilate who is on trial, not Jesus. Yeah, in the immediate context, Jesus was on trial, would be put to death. But in the eternal nature of things, it's obvious it was Pilate on trial. And so we come to a question here. Who is going to rule in our lives for eternity and for this day? We come down to chapter 19. Look at verses 12 through 15. Again, Pilate's trying to get himself off the hot seat. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And so they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And listen to their answer. The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." You know, a moment ago I said that in a real, practical, personal way, the question with, Jesus or Barabbas is really Jesus or us. Here, the practical application for us, or the way it applies to us individually, is us in a twisted way, Caesar. And is it going to be Jesus or Caesar who rules in our lives? We face the same question. We face it in salvation. You think about Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth what Jesus is Lord, that means King, the one who rules. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Genuine saving faith, even though the individual might not understand the terms of lordship and kingship, might not fully understand the theology behind it, but there is a genuine, true heart transformation where the person wants to live to please the Lord. That might be how they put it in their words. What they're talking about is that they have chosen Jesus as their king as a result of their faith and being born again by the Holy Spirit. Who have you chosen? Can you honestly say, "Jesus is my Lord"? Because I've trusted him as my Savior, and the manifestation of that, the reality of that, is shown in my desire to live in obedience unto him and to be pleasing unto him. But believer, not just the initial act of conversion, but in our ongoing walk, we are constantly, daily, in every situation, faced with the decision, who is going to rule? You think of what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." That means set him apart as Lord, again, as King, as Master, as ruler, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks of you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Set apart Christ as Lord. Let me ask you, believer, as you've gone through this day, and as you look at the balance of this day, whatever time of the day it is you're watching this, have you been setting apart Christ as Lord? You think about the situations or the circumstances that you're in at this time. You may be going through a very wonderful time in your life right now. Everything's smooth sailing. You're just seeing wonderful answers to prayer. There's just a time of joy. Are you allowing Christ to reign in that, or have you allowed those blessings to take your mind and your heart off of Him? Maybe you're going through a very difficult time, a time of great adversity and trial and difficulty. And human response, you want to get through it as quickly and easily as possible. You want out of it. But is your number one goal in that situation not so much to get out of it, but to be pleasing unto the Lord within it? And yes, praying for Him to open the door and solve the problem, I'm not taking away from that. But what I'm saying is our number one goal, wherever it is we find ourselves in life this morning, whether absolute top of the world on one side or burdened with tremendous problems and adversities on the other end of the spectrum, either way, there needs to be one common response, and that is the desire for Christ to rule and to reign in our lives, to be our King. Who is the King of your life? Christ must be Lord. We are having to answer the question, who is going to rule? We have to answer that in terms of conversion, of salvation. As believers, we have to answer it in everyday life. Again, we often talk about, we refer to this as Jesus' trials before Pilate, and that's technically true. But it's really clear in the eternal scheme of things that it was Pilate who was on trial in front of Jesus. Just like in one sense, it's you and I now who are on trial. Who's going to live in your life? Who is going to rule? There's only one correct answer, and that is Jesus Christ. That you recognize that you are under the death penalty, and that you recognize and trust that Christ died and rose again for you, and you allow Him to live through you, and you live by faith in Him. That you recognize He's the one who has rightful authority over your life, and you surrender under Him. Yes, as part of genuine conversion, but the ongoing life as a believer. Think about your life and your living. Who's going to live? Who is going to rule? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, thank You once more, O God, for the wonderful gift of Your Son. Father, may we recognize that we're worthy of death and trust Your wonderful salvation in Him and allow Christ by faith to live through us today. Father, may we recognize Your sovereign kingship in our lives. And Father, may our sole desire be in every situation, every problem, every need, every trial, every blessing, to obey You and to live for You. Father, may we this day choose Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as we go through this week that you draw close to the Lord, that you see His love, grace, and mercy as never before, that you experience Him as never before. And I hope that you have a great day and a great week in Him.